Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from John chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along with the written notes during the sermon, the written notes can be found in the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. There's a very good reason why it is called the dead of winter. The holidays are over. The nights seem very long and very dark. It's cold and windy and snowy and icy. Yet here in Kansas City, in the midst of the dead of winter, there is an excitement, a vibe, a buzz. How many conversations this past week included the name Mahomes? I can tell by your reaction that you've been a part of many of those conversations. Even if you're not a football fan or a fan of the Chiefs, you can sense the excitement, the buzz. Did you see that pass that Mahomes threw to Kelce? Why, even when they were down 24-0, I just kept thinking, yeah, but we have Mahomes. It'll work out. It is literally hard not to be a part of all of the excitement in our area associated with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Well, the reason I'm talking about that at the beginning of the sermon is because the situation in our gospel lesson this morning, in a way, is an ancient example of the same phenomenon. Multiple separate events in our gospel lesson all have the same focus. The excitement, the vibe, the buzz is spreading about this Jesus of Nazareth. Who he is, what he has come to do, why he came. For example, take John calling Jesus the Lamb of God. It's not by accident that when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus occupies the role of the Passover lamb. In the Old Testament, God's people were spared from death by the shedding of the blood of the Passover lambs. And so Jesus, as that Lamb of God, that spotless lamb, takes away our sins through the shedding of his blood. Or consider John pointing back to Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist bore witness. "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John the Baptist clearly bears witness that this guy, this Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of God, the one sent from God to be the Savior of the world. We see then in our gospel lesson, John calling Jesus the Lamb of God a second time. This time, John the Baptist is with some of his disciples. And when John bears witness that this Jesus is the Lamb of God, we're told that some of John's followers, some of his disciples, begin to follow Jesus, including one of them named Andrew. John's testimony leads them to follow Jesus. And then at the end of our gospel lesson, we see Andrew telling Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah." St. John writes it like this: "He," that is Andrew, "first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.' He brought him to Jesus." Andrew's priority in that moment of excitement in discovering that the Messiah was here was to go find his brother and share with him that wonderful good news of a Savior. All of this pointing to Jesus, bearing witness to Jesus, who he is, what he has done. All of this buzz and excitement and focus leads to a singular question. What does bearing witness to Jesus look like in our lives? How might the story of our lives, as we live out our lives today, look like the lives of those first disciples and of John the Baptist? Simon Peter provides us with the answer in his first letter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he writes these words, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Be prepared. Be prepared to give a reason for that wonderful hope that is yours because of Jesus Christ. Practice. Practice bearing witness to Jesus, even if it means standing in front of a mirror and talking into that mirror to get your words the way you want them to be. Be ready to bear witness to Jesus. It doesn't need to be some sort of long speech. In fact, it's better if it isn't. Keep it short and to the point. Maybe the opportunity will come when a neighbor that you have helped out a number of times says to you, "Why are you always so kind to me?" And you can respond by saying, "Because Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you too. I love you to show the love of Jesus to others." You have already borne witness to Jesus this morning. On a cold winter morning, you got up, got out of bed, got ready, backed the car out of the garage, and made a point of being here in God's house to demonstrate that it's important to be with God's people together and to worship our great and awesome God. And that has borne witness to people around you, borne witness to Jesus. How you spend your time, the words you choose to say or choose not to say, how you allocate your financial resources, and countless other examples. All of those things in life are opportunities for you and for me to bear witness to Jesus. In this season of Epiphany, as we rejoice that the Father in love sent Jesus, the light of the world, to be our Savior from sin, may this be our simple daily prayer. May others see Jesus in me. May God use you and me each day to bear witness to Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.